Well, good morning again. It's a little bit getting a little bit warmer, right? Yeah, no, that's what I thought. It's still cold. All right. Well, good deal. I'm so glad that you're here today as we kick off this series. We're going to spend just a couple weeks. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about hate. Most importantly, we're going to talk about what God loves, and we're going to talk about what God hates. And so we're going to dig a little bit deeper into Him and to find out who He is and what we can look for from a relationship with Him, because it's really important for us to know that if we're going to have a relationship with somebody, that we need to know the things that they love, and we need to know the things that they hate, because hopefully what we're going to do is do a lot more of what they love and a lot less of what they hate, right? That tends to make a better relationship. Would you agree with me? Say yes. Okay, good. Oh, three of you agree. That's where we need to be. What is up with you three that always agree with me? Good deal. So here's the thing. We're going to start digging into these things because we want to know what it is that we love and what He loves and what He hates. So let me just kind of start out with this. How many of you love country music? The old country or the new country? So depends on how old you are. That's what that depends on. All right, so raise them up if you love country music. All right, so now raise them up if you hate country music. All right, so look, got a few little, nobody, no punches, please. All right, so some of you love country music, some of you hate country music, right? How many of you love Pinterest? Raise your hand. Yeah, I knew. Come on, guys. No guys are ever going to admit that, are they? All right, so how many of you hate Pinterest, okay? Does anybody really? Yeah, it just drives you nuts. For some reason, I get all these notifications that all of you have pinned a new board. I'm like, how many boards do y'all have? I mean, you know, I thought it was about all kinds of stuff, but undoubtedly it's just about boards on there. Somehow I get those things. All right, so how many of you love sushi? Anybody? Yeah, so that's awesome. How many of you hate sushi? Just the thought of it kind of, yeah, you know, you don't like your stuff raw there, do you? You want it cooked and well done. So what about, how many of you like cold? None of us do, right? So today you're like hating it, but the whole thing is we're going to get through this message really quick, and I'm going to get you out of here, and we'll be good. But here's the thing that we need to understand, that there are things that we love, and typically if we love something, we're passionate about it, right? It's the thing that shapes everything else about us, those things that we love. And the things that we hate, well, we tend not to let those shape us. We just try to stay away from them, and we try to avoid them because there's some things that just don't mix with who we are. And so there are things that we love and things that we hate, and the same is true with God. There are things that He loves and there are things that He hates, and that's what we're going to spend some time talking about in these next couple of weeks. But the thing is, many of you know I have two daughters. I have Allie and I have Erin. And so Allie is my soon-to-be 13-year-old. All right, she wanted me to tell everybody that her birthday is Wednesday. That's what she said. Okay, so happy 13th birthday. She's going to be a teenager. And then she proceeded to tell me not to make her a sermon illustration. Well, sometimes you get what you want, sometimes you don't. And this time, she's actually going to get what she wants, all right? So today, I'm not going to pick on her. I'm going to pick on Erin, who is my 6-year-old, soon to be 7-year-old. And she's in here today. I wasn't planning on that, but I'm still going to pick on her. All right, so here's the thing. So here's little Erin, and she's just like the cutest little thing. You know, you hang her out with her. You know, she's got this personality. It's amazing. But she also has this other unique thing, that she has her daddy wrapped around her little finger. So the other day we're at the house and she says, Daddy, come here. You know, come here. And so she calls me in there. I go in to the room and it's her and Kelly, my wife, are in there. And they're both sitting on this chase, you know, recliner-like thing. And so I walk in the room, I said, "Why?" And she says, "No, come here." So I walk over there beside it, and she says, so here wasn't good enough. She wanted me here. So I had to walk all the way around there, and then it was just, I love you, right? That's what, so she called me all the way in there, had me to come to this specific spot just to tell me she loved me. And you know, that is really cool, right? And it's really amazing that this child totally knows that she has her dad just wrapped around her finger. And I love that about her. I love the fact that she has this tender heart and that she really, you know, wants to express her love and that she just, you know, wants to spend time with me. She wants me around and all that. I love that about her. But then there are those times where she wakes up in the morning and doesn't want to go to school. And she pitches a fit. And it's like this little devil child has come out of that little cute little loving child, right? And so there are times when I love her, things I love about her. You know, I love her all the time. Don't get me wrong. I love her all the time. But there are things I love about her, like when she's all sweet and innocent and all of that stuff. But there are things that I hate about her, that I hate that she does. It's her actions when she wants me to, you know, she wants to pitch fits and she wants to have her way and it's going to be no other way. There are things that you know, that I love about her, but at the same time, I hate about her. Not hate her. She knows that that's not what daddy's saying or what he would even think. But the fact is that we all find that about other people. We love them and we hate them all at the same time in the things that they do and the things that they don't do. And so that's kind of where we're looking at today, is understanding that there are just things about God that we need to know, and there are things that he loves and there are things that he hates. Now there's a foundational truth that we need to understand about this to really be able to move forward with God, because here's what we need to understand. First off, that love is not what God does, but love is who God is. It's not what he does, it's who he is. He is a loving God, but he doesn't just do love. He is God. He is love. 1 John 4:8 says this: whoever does not love does not know God, because what? God is love, right? God is love. He is love, not just in action, but in who he is. It's the very essence and the very nature of who God is. We need to understand that if we're gonna see love, we're gonna have to see God, because he is love. The very essence of him is that. It's found right in the most probably familiar scripture that we can find in the scriptures. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now, he loved the world. God so loved the world. This very essence of not just something that he does, but it's in who he is, because he didn't just love us. He could have loved us and left us the same. But because he is love, we are able to find in him more than just an expression. We're able to find the true meaning of it, and that's that he gave his Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes would not perish but have that eternal life. So this understanding of God being love is so foundational for us. It's not what he does, but it's who he is. Someone sent me a text and said, "Hey, Ron, are you going to preach one of those messages about how to love your spouse this weekend? You know, Valentine's Day and all that." I mean, we haven't even mentioned that fact yet. I mean, hopefully you've gotten your loved one, you've gotten them something, you've expressed your love to them, you made sure they understand how much they mean to you. If you haven't done that, listen, you gotta do it. I'm okay if you just get up right now and just do it. You know, because really, if you're not able to express it, if it's not there, if it's not a meaningful thing, then listen, you're missing out on the greatest part of any relationship, and that's just being able to show each other love. God says that his love for us is so great that he would be willing to give his very Son for us, so that where we are separated from him with a broken relationship, that he sent his Son Jesus to die on that cross to pay the price for our sin, so that we could be forgiven, set free, and restored in the relationship with him. That's the greatest expression. And listen, for us as believers, we should, and especially as husbands, we should be willing to do that. The Bible says that that the church, that the church is his bride, and that he was willing to give his life for his bride. If you're going to have a spouse, let me just, this is all side. If you're going to have a wife, you need to love her like Christ loved the church. He says he loved his bride so much that he gave his greatest possession, that he gave the greatest thing that he had, and that was his son Jesus, to pay the price for the church, to have that relationship with it. And listen, if we're going to have those kind of relationships, we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to give ourselves to our spouse. So on Valentine's Day, let me tell you, husbands, listen, if you haven't given all of you to your spouse, do it. Let God do that. But you see, you can't do it without knowing who the source of love is. So that person said, hey, you're going to do one of those messages about how to love your spouse? I said, no, I'm going to do one of those messages about God, who loved us so much that he set the greatest example for us, so that we would understand not just how to love, but to understand truly what love is. Because if you don't know what it is, how in the world can you express it, and how can you do it? So here's the thing about God, that he is love, and if you don't know him, then you can't know true love. You can't know the deepest meaning of love. And so his relationship is set for us in this fact that he would give everything that he had, his greatest and most prized thing, so that you and I could know him. So our relationships need to be like that. But if we're going to if God is love, and if for us to love properly comes out of that, then it kind of poses a problem for us sometimes, doesn't it? Because what happens is we forget what that love is like. Sometimes it becomes very hard for us to feel his love. It becomes hard for us to understand what it is and to really be able to live in it, because we have a hard time feeling his love. Now, you've heard me talk about feelings before, and feelings are not where we're to be grounded. You know, our feelings will fool us. And our feelings can be things that take us places that we're not really supposed to go. It's what we know and what we experience that really is what we're to follow. And so to know God, to know who he is and to know him, are is where that love should come from. But so often it's hard for us to feel his love. And why is it hard for us to feel it? Does he stop loving us at times? No. Because he says he loved us so much that he gave his son for us. Is it because he takes some time off that we don't feel it? No, does his love go up and down for us? No, thank you. No, it's because there are reasons within us that we don't feel his love. And so today I just want to spend some time looking at a few reasons why it's hard for us to feel God's love. Here's the first one. Maybe we're not seeking God. You got notes, you can write that down in your program. Maybe we're just not seeking God. The Bible tells us that we're to seek him. I heard a pastor do a message recently on marriage, and one of the, he gave five reasons and five ways to have a stronger message. You know what the first one was? It was to seek God. That if you want to have a stronger marriage, you got to seek God. You have to seek God. You, not your spouse. Don't elbow them and say, yeah, you know, it's you. And it's me. We have to seek God if we're going to have a strong marriage, if we're going to have strong relationships, if we're going to be anything close to what we're meant to be, we've got to seek God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom. So what does first mean? Right? First, right? Would anybody disagree that first means first? So if we're going to seek God, then we need to do it first. It needs to be the highest priority for us, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So if we're to seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, who he is first, and then all these things will be given to you, then shouldn't that be the first on our priority? You remember we talk a lot about here why we exist as a church, and we exist to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news. That's why we're here. And so that number one thing is that we got to help develop a love for God. That means he is to be first. He said that the greatest commandment was to love him with everything that we have. We need to seek him first. I love the fact that it says all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things? They're the things that we, when we seek him, they're the things that he wants for us. If you want a strong marriage, seek him first. All these things will be given to you. If you want peace and understanding, seek him first, and all these things will be given to you. If you want to have choice, if you want to have decisions made the way that he wants you to make them, then seek him first. If you're asking what job you need to take, seek him. Seek him, and he will give you those things that shape you and make you who he wants you to be. It's got to be number one on our list. If somebody came to me and said, "Ron, see that girl over there? I'm going to marry her." And I said, "Okay, I can roll with that. But you know what? I'm going to marry her. I'm not going to date her. I'm just going to marry her. Forget all the dating stuff. I'm going straight to the chase. I'm going to do it." You know what? I would say, "Whoa, Nelly, you know, we need to slow down here, because you need to date her and you need to get to know her, because she may not be the one that is right for you. She may not be the one that God wants for you. But yeah, but I'm just going to date her. I don't need to do all that." No, you do need to do that. Because you need to know what she loves. And you need to know what she hates. You need to know all those things about her, because you need to understand so that you can do more of the things she loves and less of the things she hates. We need to understand that we can't just seek out and go in a direction without first looking and seeing where it is that God wants us to go. We need to be able to follow him. We need to put him first. I think too often we put him up on the shelf, and when things get tough or difficult, we like to go and we like to pull him off and then open him up and let him, you know, expect him to work in our lives. But then while we think we got things good, you know, we close him back up and stick him on the shelf. And let me tell you that we're not ever going to get to where he wants us to be by keeping him there. It's when we seek him first. And so today, if you don't feel God's love, let me just tell you, it might be because you're not seeking him. I get that you're praying, but just praying for him to fix all the mess in your life and fix all the things and just give you all the things that you want, that's not seeking him. Seeking him means that you plug yourself into him and that you begin to understand who he is, the things that he loves and the things that he hates, the things that he wants for you and has promised to you. And we need to seek those things more than just what we want and what we feel like makes us happy. So the first thing that we need to understand, if we're not feeling God's love, maybe it's because we're not seeking him. Second thing is this, that we don't love like God loves. If we're not feeling his love, maybe it's because we're not loving like he loves. Maybe we don't have that in our lives. And so oftentimes we see that in so many different places. 1 John 4, verse 10 says this. This is love. All right, you want to know what love is? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Man, that's setting the bar pretty high, isn't it? Think about that, church. Think about if we were to understand that love is much greater than what we make it out to be. It's much greater than just the lovey-dovey stuff that we want to make it, because that's the part that always feels good. Maybe love is more than that. And I think the scripture here teaches us that we are to love in a different way than we typically want to love. God loved us so much, and so because he loved us, that we're to love other people. And just think about that in our everyday lives. Think about how that plugs in to where you work. Think about how that plugs into where you play or whatever. Think about how that plugs in to every piece of what you do. He loved us, and he sent Jesus for us. And because of that love, then we're to love other people. Man, I know some people are just hard to love. I get that. You know, I just go to Walmart. They're hard to love at Walmart. You know, I know you think every week I have a Walmart story, but I do, because it's just easy, okay? I don't even have to go to Walmart looking for a sermon illustration. I just pick one up every time I'm there, okay? So the other day I go to Walmart, and I think, well, you know, I'm in a hurry. I won't wait in the one line that is open out of 60. I'll go over to the self-checkout because I'll be able to check myself out much faster, right? So I get over there, and undoubtedly everybody else in the store had the same idea as me. And so I get over there, and usually, you know, the self-checkout is the lines with the people who can carry what they're getting in their arms, right? Oh, no, 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 no. This one was ridiculous. Every single person in front of me had a basket full of groceries. I'm like, what in the world are you thinking? I mean, I was just waiting for one of, you know, it's like, come on, please. You know, if I see somebody behind me that's got less than me, I always just say, you know, come on up and let them in front. Oh, no, 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 no. None of them were going to do it. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, okay, they're going to go fast, right? No. Two of them, in fact, that were in front of me seemed to not know what a debit card really was and how to use it. And so not only do I have to wait for them to check all 60 items through, but now I got to wait for them to figure out how to use their debit card. I just wanted to walk up there and go, you know, and just, you know, push the button for them, you know. And it's just easy to get frustrated at Walmart. It's easy to get frustrated wherever we go. It's easy to see people struggling, and we're trying, you know, you just want to get out of there, but you feel like you're going to, you know, get Social Security before you do, you know. But I was having a hard time loving those people. And you know what God was like? Man, he was beating me up the whole time I'm standing there because, you know, I'm preaching a message on love, right? And that we're to love others, you know, and love them as we love ourselves and all that. And there I was in the checkout line at Walmart, standing there for 30 minutes, you know? And so the thing of it is, while I'm standing there, I finally realize that I got to love these people the way that God loves me. And it ended up that the person, one of the people in front of me, really did need some help. And so I really did get to help them. It was kind of cool because I'll just tell you, 2 seconds before they asked, I probably would have said no. You know, because I just was frustrated. At least I probably wouldn't have looked like somebody they wanted to ask for help. And so the reality is that we need to be able to love people the way that God loves us. Here's the truth that we need to really plug into. This is the one, for me, if you walk away with this today, that this is the piece that I think holds it all together. Here it is. If we're going to live like Jesus lived, we're going to have to love like Jesus loved. Now chew on that for a second. If we're going to live like the one we say we belong to, we're going to have to love like the one that we say we belong to. And he demonstrated that love in such amazing ways. You see, there were times where he had to step over people to get to someone who was in need of healing. There were times where he had to love people who had some pretty shady pasts. There were people who were seeking out sometimes just all that he could do for them, and he had to love them anyway. And so for you and me, that means that we're going to have to love some people that may seem unlovable. It means we're going to have to love people that always do the things that we want them to do. It means we're going to have to love people the way that God loves us when we are in the middle of our messes, when we're in our sin, when we're doing things that take us out of fellowship with God that keep him from hearing our prayers sometimes, where we're in the situations that we get ourselves into, and he still loves us anyway. Listen, we're going to have to love people even when they don't do things exactly the way that we want them to be done. It means in our neighborhoods, we're going to have to look at people that maybe don't look like us or talk like us or smell like us or whatever, and we're going to have to love them. We're going to have to make sure that they understand that there's something different and that there's something more in us that could be in them. It could be that he's already in them, and we just need to love them and give them a chance to get beyond where they're at. We got to love them the way that he would love them if we're going to live the way that he wants us to live. And we're going to have to do ministry differently if that's the way that we're going to do it. We're going to have to love people the way that he loves them. That means when you go to Walmart, man, you're going to have to, the people with the big buggies in the checkout line, you're going to have to love them. Yeah, I'm saying that just for me, okay? I'm trying to remind me. So maybe you do, but for me, I got to. All right, so here's the thing. We got to love people the way that he loves them. If you're not feeling the love of God, if you're not feeling it it's not doing anything for you, then maybe you're not seeking him. Maybe you're not loving like him. Or maybe, and I think this is the one that gets all of us most of the time, is that maybe you don't feel worthy. Maybe you don't feel it, his love, because you feel unworthy of it. I think all of us find ourselves in this place. Listen to this. We don't feel worthy of his love. We totally feel unworthy. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, Paul said right before that, he said, you know what? Most people won't die for a good person. He said, and maybe somebody would die for a really good person. Now think about that. Think about who you would die for. I love all of you, but I know two little girls that I would absolutely not give for you. Man, I'm just being straight up with you. Not sure I would give myself up for you sometimes, right? Depends on what kind of emails you send me this week. But the truth is that if you think about that, who would you die for? Probably not most people. And that list, that you know, man, the ones that are on that list, you would, they are super special. But Paul says this, that God demonstrated his love for us, that when we were totally unlovable, while we were sinners so far away from him, wanting nothing to do with him, wanting nothing of him, that he loved us so much he sent his son to die for us. Now think about that. If you don't feel worthy of his love, if you're having a hard time feeling God's love, let me tell you if it's because you feel unworthy, you need to know that he's made you worthy. Not because of who you are, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. He gave his son so that you and I could be worthy of his love, that we could experience who he is and we could understand love. See, sometimes the reason that we have such a hard time with love here is because we've based love on us. We base love on what makes us feel good. We base the love on the temporal things of life. But the reality is love, true love, is not based on us. It's based on God. Because why? He is love. And so if we're really going to understand this, listen, if we're going to have marriages that are all that he wants us to be, if we're going to have relationships that are all he wants them to be, then we're going to have to go back and make sure that the love that we have in those relationships are based on him. I can tell you that's where I found myself several years ago, was having to go back and say, you know what, I've been loving so long based on me. And there's no way I can give the love that my wife needs. There's no way I can give the love that she's meant to receive. There's no way I can give her all that she is deserving of from her husband if it's all based on the love that's based on me? And I had to go back and look at love completely different, because it had to be the kind of love that comes out of the source of love, not out of this pseudo source. And so I had to take it back to where it came from him, and it allowed me to love her in a completely different way. There may be times where I'm still not good at showing it, but the reality is my love for her is completely different at 20 years than it was at 10 years. And it's because that love had to be regrounded in the love that God gives us and the source of love. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were unworthy, that he sent his son for us so that we could know what that love is really, really like. I think of the story of Hosea and Gomer. What an amazing love story that is. And we can, if you haven't read that story, you should go and dig into it. In fact, I shared a post today that comes out of that kind of love. And if you want to read about a true kind of love, man, that is the story. But you go into it and you see demonstrations throughout the scriptures of what love looks like, and from person to person. But you need to understand, from the front of this to the back of this is what love is really all about. It's totally different than what we look at. It's not just about between two people. It's about a God who loved his creation so much and would go to the greatest length to have a relationship with him. We look at, in Genesis chapter 3, we see the story of Adam and Eve, and we know about the creation account and how they're there in the Garden of Eden. Things are so good, you know, they've got it made. And God says, listen, this is yours, all of this. And you can have it all. It's all yours. You just can't do one thing. Don't eat the fruit off of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says, listen, you can do it all, but just don't do that. Well, we know what happens, right? We know that they go and they end up eating the fruit. And what happens when they eat the fruit? Sin enters in, right? So now they've gone against what God wanted for them. They've done exactly what he told them not to do. The one thing, isn't that like, you know, like a bunch of humans, right? Just do the one thing you ain't supposed to do. But they did it, and sin entered in. And we see the relationship between man and God broken. Now love is seemingly different because of the choices. And here we see that now that sin has entered in, the relationship completely changes. And we find later that Adam now realizes some things about himself, right? He realizes that he's naked and he becomes ashamed. And so before, where God would walk through the garden and have conversations with him and be right there with him, now when God comes walking through the garden, Adam runs and hides. And he runs over and he gets behind the bush. And God comes and God says, Adam, where are you? And he's like, I'm over here. It's like, what are you doing? Adam's like, I'm hiding. Yes, I understand this stool doesn't hide me, okay? Just get it. But anyway, pretend with me. So he says, you know, I'm hiding because I'm ashamed, because I'm naked. And God says, well, who told you that? Who told you were naked? The whole reality is that it wasn't about where his shame came from. It's just the fact that he now had shame. And because of that shame, this relationship that was meant to be so close and to be bound so tight by what is true love now has been separated by a difference of one person believing that love is something else. Because now he believes that God's love is based on what he does rather than who God is, because he hasn't gotten the whole God is love. And so now this relationship is broken. But the reality is that that God would not forget about Adam because he didn't realize what love was. No, he would continue on to show him what true love is and where true love comes from. And so from Adam all the way up to where Jesus comes and dies on the cross is one great show of who and what love truly is. And for you and I, we can look at the scriptures and know that we don't have to hide behind a bush. We don't have to put love somewhere else because we've developed this our own sense of what it is. We can go back to the source of love and begin to understand it fresh and new. Today, if you're finding it hard to understand and to feel God's love for you, listen, maybe you're not seeking Him. Maybe you're not loving like He loves. Maybe you're just struggling with feeling unworthy. Let me tell you what God loves. Because that's what we want to understand, is what does God love? God loves to take broken, beat up people who have forgotten all about what love is really meant to be and to draw them back into a relationship with Him to help them realize that they don't have to hide any longer. That now they can be restored and to have a true relationship with the one who is love. God loves to bring us back to a place where we recognize who He is and are able to live our lives based on Him and not us. If you base your life and you live your life completely on who you think you are, you will come up empty every time. We can't find fulfillment in ourselves. We can't find that the ultimate purpose of ourselves within us. That whole self-help thing, I got to tell you, it's kind of a joke. Now don't get me wrong, I know there are good self-help books and there are things that can help you. And God can call at any point and we should answer. But the reality is, sorry, I just had to pick on you. But the reality is, some of you didn't hear that, but that's okay. I love picking. Anyway, the reality is that God, though He loves us and He wants a relationship with us, we need to understand that we can't find that purpose in us. We can't find the fulfillment in us. We have to find it in Him. And today, if you're not feeling that love and you're not there, maybe you do need to seek Him more. Maybe you do need to love more. Maybe you do need to understand how worthy you are. But know this today, that He loves to restore us to the place that He meant for us to be all along. So today, my invitation to you is this. If you've been struggling with love, then maybe it's time to go back to the one who is love. Maybe it's time to go back and just say, you know what, God, I've blown this on my own. I've blown it trying to figure it out for me. I need to understand it from You. And so today, maybe you just need to come and just confess the fact that love's been based on what you love and what you hate and not on what He loves and what He hates. Maybe your marriage is struggling because you haven't grounded it in what true love is all about. Maybe you haven't grounded it in who love is. And so today would be a great time to do that. Maybe today you realize that you've never experienced the love of the Father who created you and made you. And today is a day that you can give yourself over to Him and have that relationship with Him. It's pretty simple. You just acknowledge the fact that Jesus came to earth. As He's God's Son. He came, and He came for a purpose, to restore us. That He came so that He could give His life, die paying the price for our sins, so that we could be restored into the relationship that He wanted with us all along. That He gave His life on a cross, He was buried in a tomb, and on the third day He was raised again. So not only is our payment made, not only are we atoned for by the sin being paid for, but now we can spend forever with Him because we know the resurrection exists, and we know that we can live forever with Him. So today, Listen, you can not only understand what love is, but you can understand and you can spend forever with the one who is love. So as the band plays and as I pray and as we go into these last few moments of this time together, then let me just give you an opportunity to make a decision to make that love right. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I just ask right now that you would speak clearly to us, God, that we could understand what your love really is, what it's truly like to love the one who is love. God, for those in the room today who've never begun a relationship with you, I pray right now that they would just see you for who you really are. That you are God, that you are the one who loves and is love. God, that you created each of us to have a relationship with us, and God, because of sin in our lives, we're not able to have that relationship on our own. It's only through a relationship with Jesus, only by his sacrifice and acknowledging his sacrifice that we can have that. So God, in these moments, may we make our relationship sure with you. God, for those of us in the room that have known you and have done our best to walk with you and have made a decision to follow you long ago, God, maybe today we're just struggling with what your love really is like. And God, I would just pray that we would seek you more and we would love more like you and that we would just understand how worthy we are because of your son Jesus. So God, today in this crowd, I pray that you would just move and have freedom. God, that in these moments of decision, God, that we would not just make a church decision, not just make a decision to satisfy ourselves or somebody else here, but God, to truly make a decision that transforms us into who it is that you want us to be. That God, it's not just an empty promise of, oh God, I'll do better. But it's God, I want you to make me better. I want to be better because of you inside of me, living out this purpose that you created me for. And so God, in these moments, may you have your freedom to do whatever it is that you need to do in our lives, God. God, may we not be afraid to move if you say move. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.